I would like, before we pray, to read from the Gospel of John. We have heard already a lot on this weekend, and these verses became so great to me from the Gospel of John, from chapter 16, from verse 25. Here our Lord says, "These things have I spoken unto you in parables, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in parables, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." And I believe the hour has come. It is here where he made known unto us all things. "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no parables. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Praise and thanks be to our God for these words which he spoke out. And I believe for us it's like a comfort. Yes, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Can't we be happy that these words are written? What a comfort for all of us. He has overcome, and also we with him may be overcomers. Do we believe this? Yes, not alone, but through him. And this is so wonderful. As written, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Yes. Oh, he who has peace with God, he can thank God. He can be happy. Beloved, only few people have peace with God. If they have peace with God, then they also have peace with one another. People want to make peace without God and without his word. But this is not possible, beloved. Only if he gives peace, and only in Jesus we have peace. And for this, we want to honor him this afternoon, exalting his name. Let us stand up for it. Let us worship together. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Also this afternoon, for this hour, we thank you once again for the hours which are behind us, for your precious and holy and blessed word, Lord. My God, we can only say, you have done great things on us. While sitting on an ash heap, we worship you. Lord, we are so grateful that you have revealed your truth unto us, and only he will understand it, to whom you revealed your word. To whom you didn't reveal it, he will walk away, Lord, and will not know what it is about. But Lord, your own will recognize you and will understand your speech, Lord. They will thank you, O God, and they will praise your name, O Lord. For you revealed yourself mightily in our days. You no more speak in parables, but with your own you speak openly, Lord. As in those days, so also in our days, Lord. Glory to your wonderful name. We worship you, Lord, and we ask you, may your peace remain in our hearts. And where it is not inside yet, Lord, then give it, Lord. Give it, Lord. We need your peace. We have sung, we need thee every hour. O gracious Lord, your name is my refuge. Yeah. Lord, receive the honor, receive the praise and the worship from all our heart and mouth, Lord. This afternoon, Lord, we give you the glory and we ask you, strengthen our brother who will bring your word, Lord. O Lord, and open our hearts that we receive everything, Lord. For we know it's not the word of a man, but it's your word, Lord. Glory to your glorious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. What a big difference between what people consider certain for themselves and between what is actually certain. God's word is trustworthy and true, and what he has said, this is certain, and we can 100% rely on it. This word is in us, and we are in this word. I don't believe that since the days of the apostles was a time in which the believers with the word by the Spirit were joined so deeply, so intimate as it is now. In the past centuries, there was more knowledge than revelation. The revelation is not that old at all as older knowledge, which in the course of the centuries were in part already existing and were made known. In the revelation is of course the living, the saving, this absolute certainty which was given to us by the Lord through his word. And there we have it then easy with the faith. We would have to make an effort if we didn't want to believe. But if we believe, we don't have to make efforts, for we don't believe in ourselves. Neither do we believe in what we can do. We believe in the Lord and in the finished work of redemption done for us on the cross. And I have said this here recently. Let us not belong to them who work on their salvation their whole life and at the end have not yet a certainty to have been saved. Let us belong to them who believe what the Lord already said through the prophet Joel. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. It must be this living faith which is above every doubt and enter into our innermost being. Now, this afternoon, I didn't have any time to read in the Holy Scripture. A preacher will seldom admit that. But why shouldn't we say it the way it is? And yet, wherever we open the Holy Scripture, God speaks to us. His word is an open word that is accessible to us. And you most certainly notice it every time if I want to refrain from doctrinal things, almost with an inner force, then I keep coming back into them. You can just not change these things. They were arranged by God like this. And this must be that way for this last time phase in which we live. But one thing I want to have said very clearly. We stand here in the front, not as a taskmaster and not as an instructor. We want, in a fatherly way, share the word of our God with one another. For we also only received it to be able to pass it on. Paul said at that time, "You have many schoolmasters, but only a few fathers in Christ." And we want together to come unto a perfect man in the Lord. And we don't want to be any longer children under age, being tossed to and fro, but being established in the faith, which happens through grace. You of course notice it in the last brochure that was handed out yesterday, and also in the circular letter. We try with everything that is within us to share the biblical truths with one another. But the rest God must do. This is then a thing between God and the individual. Some get the access, others not. Some resist, the others get off the brake and surrender to the Lord. And as Brother Rus read to us, the Lord indicated, "The time comes where I no longer will speak in parables with you." Most people stop at the parables, argue about it, and stumble. But there are people who in full frankness hear the word of the divine revelation, and they also find their balance in the Lord, in the word, and also the right relationship to each other. All this belongs just together. In the English circular letter, I wrote it much more clear, because it was simply necessary for the sake of the word generation. In the English, there's only one word for kindred and generation, and not two, only one word. And there it says in the Gospel of Matthew 24, verse 34, "This generation shall not pass." And in the English-speaking countries, "Since the beginning of time, a generation is always 40 years. And there I had the task to prove that every generation in the Bible was totally different. I give you three examples from Matthew chapter 1, because we don't have it in the German circular. You can read it. Here it speaks of three lineages. In the German, the word kindred is written. In the English, the word generation is written. But in this case, it must be written kindred. And it says here in Matthew 1, verse 17, "So all the kindreds from Abraham to David are 14 kindreds." Listen closely. The time span from Abraham to David, 14 kindreds, and probably on the dot 1,000 years, divided by 14, at least 70 years per kindred. In English terms, per generation, from David to the Babylonian captivity, exactly 400 years, divided by 14, equals 28. The third phase, exactly 600 years from the Babylonian captivity to Christ, divided by 14, equals exactly 42 years. 70, 28, 42 are only three examples. If you wanted to follow up this thought, I just had to do it for the sake of the English-speaking countries, because they are all so determined for the coming year, 86, because the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham then, and he was told that the flag of David waves in the air for the first time after 2,500 years, and so forth. And therefore it was necessary. But I just say this simply to show us that calculations in the Word of God leads to absolutely nothing and is of no use at all. Who has commissioned us to it at all? How nice if one can believe as the scripture says, day and hour no one knows. But when you see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. No one is needed who calculates or miscalculates. No, then we calculate or count with only one thing, and this is with the return of the Lord. And when it will take place, this knows the Almighty God, and this should suffice to you and to me. But if the American brothers would hear me speak like this, then one judgment after the other would be spoken over me. And this comes anyhow, after this circular letter, in a very mighty way. But if you know where you stand, and you were ordained by God to defend the Word of God, then you don't stand because you want to stand, then you stand because you have to stand in the name of the Lord. This is the very big difference. And we always know that God has helped at the right time. When at that time, the prophet Daniel was reading in captivity in the prophet Jeremiah, he was told the exact time span of 70 years. 68 have passed. So he knew the hour has come near. When God gives times, then everything is wonderful. But if he only gives signs of the time, then we have to orientate ourselves at the signs of the time. We must always say what God has said and believe it that way and not go beyond it. Perhaps I will make this clear in a following circular letter in the German language. But we don't have this problem as far as I know. I just wanted to mention this. We expect all of you, and of course the blessing of God, at the year end. We want to have Bible hours after the old pattern, hours of prayer after the old pattern, where we really, in one accord, in the presence of God, are gathered, not only to hear sermons, but to have an experience with God. For a preacher of the Word is only then joy when the people who have heard the Word also experience it, and when God can confirm it on them. If one preaches salvation to the lost and they don't get saved, then there is a sadness. If they get saved, there is joy. If one preaches to the sick the healing and they are not healed, then there is a sadness. If they are healed, then there is joy, because God's word is confirmed, God's power has been manifested, and the people have experienced and can take it home what God has given to them. The same applies to every other subject. If we wanted to speak about the Spirit baptism and then find out that it was not experienced, then there is sadness. But if one can find out that it was experienced, that it is experienced, then there comes joy everywhere where God can confirm His word on us. There a deep thankfulness comes up in us. To the man who was healed at that time, there was no need to say to him, "Jump now and rejoice." He jumped and rejoiced because God has done great things on him. But we simply believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And come all spiritually hungry to the meetings, that God can fill us all. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we come into a service to receive teaching, we will receive it. But if we come to receive even more from God, then we will receive even more from God. We must get to the point that we in one accord make use of every opportunity in the presence of God to pray together. And in this prayer with one accord, we can meet God and He will meet us. How many still believe on it that God will also fulfill this promise in us and will all fill us with the Holy Spirit? Do you still believe in it? I believe in it. I even believe what is written in Zechariah 10 verse 1. Ask the Lord for the latter rain at the time of the latter rain. Finally, at the end of the time of grace, as at the beginning, a gracious rain of God will come. And this agrees with the book of Acts, chapter 3, last part of verse 19 and 20, that God can send times of refreshing. It will be times in which the seed that was laid earlier into the hearts is by this rain of God moisturized and shined on by the sun of righteousness, so that growth and maturity can happen together. Both growth and maturity will run parallel with one another in this last phase into which we could come at any moment. Although I try in this circular letter to work towards it, that no one should fix a date, then I have by no means the thought, as it is also written, my Lord is far from coming. Just the contrary, I am convinced that it must be very near. But I will be careful to support non-soberness. We must continue to plan and to live on and go to work as if we stayed another 100 years on earth. But we must live and believe and serve the Lord as if every day would be the last day which God has given us by grace. This absolute soberness must be kept with us until the last day. And I believe there will be such a crowd which can simply wait until the hour of God comes. And then it is enough. Then it is enough. How long this time span will then still be, this nobody of us knows. Also now on this journey, I was asked whether it is correct that Brother Branham has said the dead will rise and be with us for about 40 days. And I told it to you before, this is due to the translation work. If one knows the sermons of Brother Branham, then it must be me, because I translate line after line, and with it one most certainly cannot sleep. No, this Brother Branham has never ever said. This Brother Green has said, and it can be found on one of the tapes. But these are things which are brought up, and they are attributed to Brother Branham. And already the to and fro starts. No, we believe what the Holy Scripture says, And that's how it also will be. It's not even necessary that a period of time passes after the resurrection. At that time, when Christ rose and the Old Testament saints, according to Matthew 27 from verse 51, rose with him, they of course had to wait until the 40 days were over, during which he spoke with his disciples, and only then he could take them up. But if the Lord returns now, then he comes with the shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead will rise in incorruption, and we will be changed. And together, in a moment, we will be taken up. How much time does God still need for it? He has said it in his word, and his word is already a completed fact, and it will happen in that very moment, to be with the Lord forever. Then I would like it best to say not even goodbye anymore, not looking around anymore, but entering glory. And yet we know, as we have sung today in a hymn, that we will be guests there. For after the marriage supper, we come back again with the Lord to then celebrate the millennial reign. For he is the king during that time and will sit on the throne of his glory. And all who are with him, they will also be with him then. That's how it is also written in Revelation 19 from verse 11, that the saints will follow him and in like manner will come with him. We may comfort one another with these words. Greatest and mightiest revelation of God and his word, and then nevertheless deeply bowed and humble in the presence of the Lord. We put one step of faith before the other and follow the Lord. As it is written, wherever the Lamb goes, they also followed. Today, we will just briefly look at some scriptures, and then we will come to the front to pray together. The last time I was told that the prayers together are just mightier, more pleasant, and more intimate, and that's right. Oh, if in such a way come together in the presence of God and really open ourselves and can say before, Lord, forgive me as I have forgiven everyone, so that we, with forgiveness, with peace, with free access to the throne of grace, can come, that there is no hindrance anymore, that nothing can hold us back anymore, but that we find our connection and fellowship in the presence of God with our Lord. And this is the purpose when we pray together, that everyone seeks and finds his connection to God. And then we are all in one spirit, in one faith, in one word, and in the grace of the Lord. In Peter, in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, we read in verse 2, 2 Peter 3, verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Let us stop here at this thought. Many will be shocked when this 40-year time span will be over, no matter from when it is counted. And the scoffers will of course have a great thing to despise the believers and to say, where is now his promised return? Let us not worry. Even if scoffing would still come upon us, on top of all that, what already has come, then we would appreciate it all the more if the Lord came very soon. And perhaps it must come this way, so that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. That we don't just talk about it indifferently or hear of it, but that it would become a desperation. Come, Lord Jesus. And then, most certainly, it will be so far. I wanted to put the main emphasis on this fact, that it is written here, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. This we want to do. We want to hold on to the word of God, on all what is written. In the same chapter, in verse 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. This morning, the word from Corinthians was read to us, and then the word from James, of the divine wisdom. Here Peter writes, of the wisdom which was given to his beloved brother Paul by the Lord. Paul could say what was hidden to men from the very beginning. This God has now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Here it speaks of the wisdom that was given to Paul to write down what we today so urgently need. It was him who wrote 1 Corinthians 15. It was him who could write down all these important things. 1 Thessalonians 4 and then also 5 of the day of the Lord. It was him who wrote about gifts and ministries, about the church, about the resurrection, about all these things which doctrinally were of absolute necessity. And for that, we are grateful to God. These men, however, wrote in a way as if the things would stand already before them. Today we look back and almost 2,000 years have passed. But prophets already at their time have written as if what was hundreds of years before them already took place. A good example, Isaiah 53, and it remains the best. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement was laid on him so that we might have peace. And by his stripes we were healed. Written as if it had already happened and it was still in the future. The Spirit of God bridges the whole time from eternity to eternity. What does time mean in the eyes of God? God is above all time. He lets his word be spoken out. and watches then over it to fulfill it at the right time. In verse 16 it says here, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. It just stays that way. If somebody twists the scripture, then he himself is twisted. Then he twists the message. Then he twists what was said and thinks to have done and formed something special. God has people whom he can teach, who let themselves be something said, who let themselves be corrected, and who have access to him and to the fountain of the divine revelation. As it was emphasized, everything what comes from God was not decided in a committee, not by a high council, was not proclaimed from any podium. Holy men, they came on the scene, they were taken from the countryside, shepherds, whoever they were, and God sent them, used them. Not a single time he has taken any prophet who would have been a theologian, so that his word is not mixed, but that it is proclaimed holy and pure. And with Saul, he made then an exception, but he went for 3.5 years into the desert of Arabia, and there it is really void and empty. There he could take everything out what was put into him before, and he opened himself to the revelation of the word and of the will of God. Neither in the Old nor in the New Testament we deal with a mixture, but with a pure divine truth which has come by divine inspiration. And for that we are also grateful. Should there be something hard to understand in the word or in the preachings of a man of God, then you don't have to want to explore it at any cost, or that you must place it. We are not under any pressure. We can wait quite a while and see in what kind of wonderful way God will let all the things take place. Important is only that we have part in it, that we are inwardly prepared when these things take place, that we may experience them by his grace. In verse 17 it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. This is again a very serious admonition. Here Peter writes of the last time that we should make all efforts in expectation of these things, that it speaks of the day of the Lord. In verse 10, that heaven and earth will dissolve. It speaks of the day of God. And then the promise, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And right after this admonition, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. If I now read here that Peter writes this in connection with that, that he mentions the day of the Lord that will burn as an oven. And he says, when Paul in his epistles speaks of these things, then are not our thoughts then going 100% to 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul simply writes, you all know this word, but let me just read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Peter and Paul, all these men of God, they wrote of the time in which we arrived now. It is just a few weeks ago where these two words made headlines, peace and safety. The so-called superpowers, they sat at one table. And Daniel writes, they sit at one table and lie to one another. God has led it in such a way that the overall developments take place according to His word. And we are also grateful for that our eyes have been opened. Why should we interpret? Paul has written here about the day of the Lord, ye need no teaching. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. For what do we need here? A calculation. We notice precisely what time it is. We can read the handwriting on the wall. Watchmen of the night, how late is it? That's how it is written in the prophet Isaiah. And the answer comes in a very mighty way. The morning comes and also the night. If you want to know more, then come again and ask. We wanted to know more because the time is here. We have come. We ask. We ask God, in what time do we live, Lord? And He gives us the answer. He gives us the scriptures. He opens our hearts and the eyes so that we can see. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. These are not assumptions. This is not felt here or guessed there. This is divine instruction at the right time. The Holy Scripture is divine food. It's also orientation. It's a light on our path. It has become everything to us. But you see how Peter must have read the epistles of Paul beforehand, because he writes, as it is also the case in all his epistles. Yes, some things hard to understand, and that is no presumption now. But the time was not come yet at that time. They spoke of the day of the Lord, the expectation of the soon return, but the signs of the time were not fulfilled yet. And even the men of God looked into the Holy Scripture and asked themselves, Lord, is it now the time? Ezra said, almost 2,000 years have passed. Today, what is hard to understand has become easy to understand, because the time is ripe, because we have been placed amidst this development. We don't need anyone who interprets the scripture for us. The signs of the time, the fulfillment of all that, what God predicted, lets us know very clearly in what time we arrived. Are you not happy about it? That in this way, we are literally taught by God and are led into all truth. That nobody needs to come here with reference books and dictionaries. Here we look it up. Here is more than one book. Here are books and books and books, all inside, in one single book summarized. Hallelujah! Oh, praise God! I wished sometimes that Peter and Paul could still be here to experience all this and to witness what we are now counted worthy to witness right before the return of the Lord. But in that moment, when it will be then so far, there will be a meeting with all who went before us and with the Lord. Then Paul and Peter, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, then all the saints from the time of the Old Testament and of the time of the New Testament appear before the Lord. And together we will then sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, as we are told in Revelation 15 of the multitude at the sea of glass. This day has come near. Nobody needs a written instruction about it. That's how Paul wrote it here. You need no one to write to you. Who needs it today? Does somebody need a written calculation? Some kind of exposition? Then and then it will be? Nobody. No. Here we have it in the Word of God. We look around us. We register all the things which happen around us and recognize that the time is very near. Now Peter writes here, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Also here, we still must be careful. Whoever stands, make sure that you don't fall. And whoever is settled in the Word of God, make sure that you are even more settled. And whoever is already certain, make sure you become more certain. And whoever is holy, let him become more holy. And whoever is pure, let him become more pure and penetrate and abide in God and in His Word until the end. That is what matters today. Because as Brother Branham has said many times, the genuine and the other will be so close together. There they will speak of the rapture, and also there. There they speak of the revealed word, and also there. Don't you ever think that Rome is a deception for the bride? This I will never ever believe. The distance is far too great. And never believe that the churches or the World Council of Churches is a danger for the bride. The distance is too great. What do we have in common? No, no, no. The matter looks completely different. And here we absolutely don't want to be down on somebody. But as it was at the beginning, and the Apostle John had to write, whether you or I like it or not, may God decide this. But he has written, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Otherwise they would have continued with us. Truth remains always truth, from the beginning to the end. I probably said it here last night. Never I can believe that people are today in the truth, tomorrow in the error, today it's right and tomorrow not. I cannot believe in this. I can believe that we are exposed to trials. I can believe that we have to make decisions. I can believe that we are led from knowledge to knowledge, but not from error into error, but from clarity to clarity, and from truth to truth, and we are edified and established on the most holy ground. And where this most holy ground of faith is left, there unavoidably is built upon sand. And this one can read actually in connection with Matthew 7 very clearly, where the Lord said to the people who had much to show of themselves that they should depart from him and that he doesn't know them. And right after this, there it says from verse 21 to 23 in Matthew 7, and from verse 24 it says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. A person who hears the words of God and does accordingly builds upon the unshakable foundation. He builds upon the cornerstone, which is also the capstone, namely the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. He builds upon the foundation that was laid once for all, and this foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 26 it says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand." All of us, we know the whole story, and we don't want to judge here anyone. Just the contrary, we have to examine ourselves whether we have built upon this foundation, upon this absolute foundation of the Holy Scripture, or whether we have put some things together upon which we then continue to build. We build upon the only foundation that was laid for the church once for all. And therefore, when the storms are coming, we stand our ground. The storms are coming, the downpour comes, the winds blow. We sing it in that hymn, which Brother and Sister Gajdacz have sung a couple of times. The winds blow, and it remains like this. But the difference is therein whether the wind can knock you over or whether you stand your ground. When the wind, even a storm, comes and the houses are still there, then there's even more thankfulness in the hearts of the people, for then they stood the test which came upon them. But if not, what then? Then one has to admit that it was not built upon the rock. There was another scripture which I wanted to read, and then we will pray. Here, in 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 9 or 8, it is written, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." What a admonishing word is addressed here to all of us. Also, this is the word of God. Not only things for teaching, which don't affect us personally, but also the personal instruction, teaching, and admonition belongs to it. Whosoever receives the teaching about the plan of salvation of God shall also receive the personal teaching for himself. We cannot separate it from one another. We cannot classify the Word of God into two different categories. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's how Paul writes to Timothy. Here, we are required, finally be of one mind, having compassion and brotherly love. Be pitiful and humble. Who of us can already say that he is merciful and humble? Of the Lord we read it, that he is meek, that he is merciful, that he is humble. This we know, this he was and is still today. But what is now with me and with you? Finally, be ye all, not only some, not only a handful, not just a few, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, love as brethren, be merciful and humble, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. All of us, we want to receive blessing, and God has already prepared it for us. Let us fulfill the conditions for it, so that these lockings are opened, so that there is no more a congestion upon us, but that the river of blessing could flow in a mighty way. How many are longing for it? As the hymn writer sings, mercy drops are falling, send the showers, O God. But there must be conditions fulfilled. Having one mind, compassion, brotherly love, merciful, humble, and everything what goes with it. Of ourselves, no one brings this with him, neither is he able to do it somehow. But Christ in us will then be the power of God. Through all this can be worked what is required from God, and on what he looks and what he expects from us. Also the other admonitions, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. How often do we make a slander, and it is just a lie, and we say, but we have heard it, we have it of a reliable source. It always says, I have it from a reliable source. Just replace this word reliable with coincidental. It fits much better. So much reliable as you are and I, so reliable are also all the others. And as you and I can be mistaken, and as you and I can be wrong, and as you and I don't need to see the matter correctly, so it is with all them who want to tell you and me something. And we repeat things, and by it we lied, and then we come into the presence of the Lord, and marvel that there is no breakthrough, marvel that the blessing of God cannot flow. Here, not only the advice is given to us, it is urgent and necessary. For he that will love life and see good days, this we all want, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Not only guile, which you would say, this is actually enough. If everybody speaks his own guile, this is already too much. But if then even things are said, what others have said, and how this then comes out somewhere at the end, then your hair, even you don't have any, stand on end. This matter is very serious to me, very serious. We live at the end of time. And believe me, God does not speak to the chairs on which we sit. God speaks to our hearts. He wants that we keep his word, that we hold on to it, that it is food for us, and that we line up with it. Let us be careful to get our tongue involved in some kind of matter. If it is 100 times emphasized, this is true and this is true, who knows whether it's true? God alone and nobody else. Every matter has anyhow two sides. Here it continues, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Let him seek peace and ensue it. More we cannot do. The rest we have to leave up to God, and He is then the judge. The promise is, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. May God make people out of us who walk in His ways, who at least want to follow His word, that the will would be here, that a desire would be there. And if we once do not succeed, that we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have saddened you. Help me to stand next time my test. That we feel an inner sorrow about it. And now in closing, the well-known word to all of us. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. 1 Peter 4 verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. The word love runs like a thread through all the scripture, but it may not just run through the scripture. It shall run through your and my life. It should have left a trace where you did more than it was required from you, where you answered with love, where hatred was shown towards you. There must be left behind a trace which goes beyond the human. Human reactions are totally different, but we have become children of God. And we want to react divinely and spiritually. The end of all things is at hand. And because we know that, we want to supplicate grace from the Lord, and He will give it to us. And take all this to heart, to get into that stand in His presence, in which we are well-pleasing before Him. Not self-pleasing, well-pleasing. Also, this is so close together. So many things are so close together. Self-righteousness and God's righteousness and many other things are so close together. We want the genuine, the divine, and the heaven is full of it. Many have already received from His fullness grace for grace. Now we may still take, for it didn't become less yet. I have never heard that somebody or that God has said it is almost empty. No, out of His fullness we received grace for grace. Also today, God's fountain has water in fullness for you and for me, also today. And so we will come by faith, worship and thank, for God has done great things on us. Amen. To whom has the word of God become greater at this weekend? God bless you. Is this not wonderful? When God's word has become great to us, when it speaks to us, and when we know that we are meant, and that it is ours, what the Lord promised. Always those to whom the Lord has given promises, they also experienced these promises. Abraham experienced what God promised to him. Israel experienced what God promised to Israel. The church experiences what God promised to the church. the bride will experience what the bridegroom promised to her. Everything in its order, arranged and laid by God in a wonderful way. Let us not forget the thought. Firstly, we were introduced into that, what God intends to do, and then we shall be placed into it. Yes, Brother Shilzong. This is the mystery. And therefore we come together, not to hear some new things, to bring these old promises home to us, and to receive them into our hearts. The rest God will do by His grace. Have you all been strengthened? Was your coming worthwhile? Then mine was also worthwhile. Praise and thanks be to our God. What a privilege. What a grace that we still can come together in such a way. For how long? For how long? This the Lord knows. But we are grateful to God every time when we can be together. Brother Rus will surely say it still, but I also would like to emphasize it. We expect you all on the 28th of December, and together we will have then the time and the days and cross over into the new year with the Lord. We invite all French-speaking people, we invite all Italian-speaking people, and all German-speaking, Polish and Czech, and who they are, and Russian, whoever they might be, we invite them all. Come all, and hear the word of the Lord. Can you all believe with all your heart? Can you really believe with all your heart, without any effort? Praise and thanks. I've said it many times. God is credible. God is trustworthy, and so is God's word, credible and trustworthy. It's not the words of a man, it's the word of God, as we heard it. And in these words of God, the living faith is anchored in. Pray also for me. I will have to be in London, and then on the journey as it was arranged, and then also to Palermo, and back again. I always say to the Lord, I remain at home. And when I'm at home, then I say nothing anymore. Then it has to go on. But I'm glad that we have brothers here. Remember all, Brother Rus, Brother Schmidt, all brothers who are here as pillars of the church. And also brothers who are not mentioned by name. You know, it is a bit hard, because then one should mention the first to the last. But you all know who is meant. We appreciate all brothers and all sisters who stand their ground in all the storms, whether they affect you or whether they are of personal kind, whatever it might be. Whosoever is grounded on the rock remains standing. He stands his ground. The storm cannot overthrow him. And so we are grateful for all. It will be worthwhile. In the end, it will be worth it. Praise and thanks be to the living God. Yes, please, Brother Rus. I believe everything was said. We are really grateful for this time and for these gatherings. It is something precious to us, for us who we believe. I want to say something. Maybe I shouldn't say it. But who are we? We're just weak and miserable. But He is almighty, and He can make use of time and hour. This would be our greatest joy. I believe when people could just see the light, may God help, is my prayer. I thank you all, brothers and sisters, that you spare no effort. We didn't count with so many at this weekend, because almost the holiday season is before us. But I see the love of God has drawn you. Yes, the love of God. It molds us together, and we have to stand together until we come from believing unto seeing. And we must pray for them who are still offside, that God may help them, that God may give grace to them. Even today, brothers, We don't know whether there will be a tomorrow. We don't know time and hour. It could be the last time. We don't know. God knows all things. May He give grace. Let us once again pray together and ask God that He is with us and with all who could not be here at this weekend. May He bless our brethren from out of town, from everywhere, from all peoples, tongues and nations. We greet you all and we feel joined together with you. And our wish is, may God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you called us from all peoples, tongues and nations. Lord, it hurts us very much when we see how the people are led by the enemy or that they are held by him. Lord, we want to kneel down and ask, Lord, that you may be merciful to many who have come into this bitterness, Lord. May you lead them out, O Lord. Help us also in this church, at this place. Take all bitterness out from every heart, Lord. My God, we need your divine love, your divine peace, Lord, for each other and for one another. My God, let it not just be words, but I ask, may you give grace to all hearts. My God, you know we are not able to do anything. We can preach ourselves to death except you revive the hearts and except you move them. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name. I pray, Lord, may you be with my brothers and sisters on their way home. May you protect them. And if there is still another meeting, may you bring us together, Lord, and bless us from the riches of your grace. Is my prayer and all our prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, praise, honor, and thanks be unto you, O God, you faithful God. Hallelujah.